Mystified.
Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Mystified. My name is Tasha.
This is Steven.
And this is a podcast where we bring you strange and unusual stories. Steven, How's it going?
It's going.
Yeah, guess what?
What's that?
We actually get paid to podcast now.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. If you've been listening to some of the episodes recently, or if you're new here, you will have noticed that music plays periodically in our episode, and then an ad appears, and then music plays again whenever the ad is over, and then we go back to talking. These are ads that are getting placed in our podcast, which is really cool because that means we do get paid to do this, which is absolutely ridiculous. But we don't have any say where they drop the ad at. So if it's just at a random place, let us know. Like if it's really distracting and it's like, why the hell did they just put that there in the middle of your like cussing rant or something crazy like that? But yeah, it kind of is what it is.
Yep.
So that's what's behind me. You keep looking at me like there's something behind me.
Nothing.
No? Oh, okay. I didn't realize we were doing a creepy podcast tonight. What? Seriously, was there something behind me?
No, there was nothing.
There was a spider with, there's a freaking spider back there.
There is not a spider
back
there.
You are lying to me. I saw your eyes track something. Do not. So if Tasha disappears in the middle of this podcast, I was eaten by a spider that Steven did not tell me was behind me. Or I freaked out and jumped and fell and hit my head. It's one of the two. But if he's the only one talking, you'll know what happened.
Show must go on.
Okay. Oh, now I'm nervous. I don't like that. Anyways, we have ads. That was a long intro just to tell you that we have ads now. So yay. And it's for other podcasts. I don't know what podcasts they are.
If they're terrible, we did not actually endorse
not affiliated
them.
In any way. It's just there's an ad. Boom. There you go. So, Steven.
Yes.
Tonight, I wanted to talk about aliens. And I guess, I don't know if you would call this a crypto or just legends. Legends in the desert.
Okay.
Aliens. How do you feel about aliens?
Didn't we already have this conversation?
We did, but that was like 2 years ago. So we're circling back. And this is not the wieners. Wieners have not been abducted.
I think I still feel the same about aliens, probably.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you think that a advanced civilization or whatever would really visit this tiny speck in this far off solar system for any reason?
Kind of depends. I mean, maybe, but.
But the likelihood, though, right? Like, it's people will say it's because we have, you know, all these resources and stuff, but we have resources for our species.
Right.
That may have nothing to do with any other, especially since there's what, possibly one other planet in a different solar system far away that could be remotely close to the type of atmosphere and everything that Earth has? Like,
I mean, I think there's probably a few more, but still, yeah. I mean, the chances of them being as similar to us as to be able to utilize what we have, thinking of a planet or planets further out that would have the same makeup and the same is not really realistic.
Right.
But I mean, we haven't yet discovered what we could exploit off of other planets.
True.
So
true.
You know.
Yeah, we're exploiting the hell out of this planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just going to town with that. So interesting. I wonder if it's For me, it would have to be kind of like one or two things. One, it's because the aliens put us here, or we were like a genetic trash dump that they just threw and was like, what could happen? And then they just curiosity brings them back. Or because we are a threat, because we just keep throwing shit everywhere and we're like not cockroaches, but kind of where we just keep making it maybe like ant. We're like an ant pile of like fire ants. And we just keep expanding our little mound of trash. Technically, ant piles aren't trash, but for us, it's trash.
We have filled our galaxy with garbage. Yeah,
because like there's literally like a garbage ring floating around our planet.
Yeah.
And so that would be is like, okay, they're coming to exterminate us. They're just like, these people are making a mess. It's fucking up this stuff. So we're just going to like raid them with like the can of raid. Like, pss, pss.
I mean, maybe, but I don't really see where our refuse that we leave floating around our planet would affect them. But there is also the whole thing that it's possible, given our predilection for it, that an evolved society would be aggressive just because, right. Because we would, if we were like, oh, there's another planet, let's go over there. Oh, they won't welcome us. We're just going to blow them up. Like,
we're going to give them some freedom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's possible, but that's also possible, or a possibility as to why we have never been contacted, is it's possible that societies progress to a point where they wipe themselves out. And so,
right.
Yeah. I don't know.
So no one ever makes it to the stars or to other planets because
they're too busy killing each other.
It's just a bunch of roams all over mm-hmm. again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay. Well, that was just kind of my question, because in this story, it kind of just seems like aliens came to visit to do pranks pretty much. Cause.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we're at. There is a 512 acre ranch. First of all, we live in Texas and there's a lot of huge ranches, but 512 acres is giant and it's like desert. So it's just like having your own like Sahara.
I mean, that's big, but that's not even big by Texas standards though.
Is it though?
Not really.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess just imagining the just like desert, because I guess when you look at like farmland or like rolling pastures and hills and you're like, oh yeah, that's really big, but it's, I guess you don't think about one person owning it. And then you look at the desert and you're like, wow, that's really big. One person owns this whole thing. Like, that's mm-hmm. just weird to me, you know, anyways, but to me it's big and it's currently known as Skinwalker Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
So, this supposedly is a cursed spot in Utah, and it is said to have everything from witches to aliens to like weird little, I guess, cryptid creatures or whatever. Just things like to fuck with things in this area.
Yeah.
It is the desert. I ain't gonna lie. That could be happening. Because
it's possible.
The desert's crazy. The desert is crazy. The property gets its name from the Navajo's people's... The property gets its name from the Navajo people's tales of the Skinwalker. This ominous creature can transform into anything it pleases. They are usually four-legged creatures like coyote or wolves, but have known to appear as crows or owls. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that legend because I don't know a lot about it and I don't want to be disrespectful and like drag something through the mud or pretend I know something. So I just have little tidbits of research that I found. But the thing that scares me is we have another bird witch lady thing, and I just don't know why we have to have so many of those, because one is terrifying enough, and I'm probably just gonna go through and like research a bunch of different legends of bird witch ladies, because I'm sure in other cultures around the world there's more and it's gonna terrify me more. But I'm wondering, like, how many do all of them have one? Is that such a scary thing that all of them have one?
Yeah it's a really common thing.
We have some sparrows on our porch that there's like five baby sparrows. There was a nest and they came out of eggs, obviously. And it's fine until you walk by and they dive bomb you. Steven says it's how they have to fly out, because I understand they're not helicopters. They can't drop down and fly, but why must they dive bomb me? That's what I need to know. It's me. It's when I walk through, all of a sudden, all five birds feel like they got to like go in a scatter pattern straight from my face and my head. And it scares me. They're cute. I like to look at them through the glass door. But when we open the door, they get crazy. Why can't they just sit there?
Because they're terrified.
I'm terrified. So we're both terrified. So I'll walk out quietly. You sit there quietly. Everybody's fine.
They're sensing your anxiety because they don't fly when I walk.
I know. It's just me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure maybe I am scary looking. I don't know. But fine. The sparrows are cute. I'm not going to run them off. I do look at them, but they do try to kill me on a daily basis. So now I'm dealing with a spider that's obviously behind me and sparrows. Maybe if we let the sparrows in, they'll eat the spider.
Do you remember the last time a bird got in our house?
And that one dive bombed me too.
Repeatedly. God, that was a mess.
Why are they attracted to the top of my head? I don't understand. Maybe it looks like a little nest.
Maybe.
Oh my God. Do I have for real the cure hair?
No.
Like,
no.
I mean, if they think it's a nest, am I there? No.
I mean, if you aspired pull that off, then you would definitely have more problems with birds because, yes, they would definitely try to land in
it. You think they would try to land in my hair?
They would.
I would freak the fuck out. I would literally lay down and cry. Okay. So many skeptics believe that everything that happens around this ranch is a hoax. But there are many eyewitness accounts to some of the phenomenon that's happened, and it spans decades. There are also the many cases of unexplained animal mutilations, cattle that have been found mutilated and bloodless on the property. Some of the cuts have been made with surgical precision, and no blood is ever found at the scene. What kind of shit is that? What? Take a deep breath. You got this.
Are they alleging them to be victims of aliens or chupacabras or?
They don't really know.
Okay.
They're just, we just got this cow. It's been exsanguinated. Did I say the word? It's a hard word.
Exsanguination.
Exsanguinated.
That was a hot topic back in the 80s and 90s. It seemed like there was a rash of cattle mutilations and exsanguinations, and I don't think anybody ever got to the bottom of it.
Yeah. I mean,
I remember as a youth watching the TV show Sightings, and it seemed like every other episode they were on some ranch where there was just piles and piles of stiff cattle with no blood in them. And
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
We live by a lot of cows, and
I've never seen a mutilated cow. But I do remember that, like, at one point we lived out on a ranch and there was a dead cow one day, and I saw a helicopter and I was like, oh, it's beginning. But
it wasn't.
I don't think it ever went anywhere.
Damn.
Yeah. I wasn't going to get close enough to a dead cow because.
Ooh, that stinks.
Well, supposedly in these mutilation type situations and the exsanguinations, they don't stink.
Yeah, because all of
there's
them
no
move.
Blood.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's nothing to have gone necrotic. It's just like a husk. But
wouldn't that have to be the organs also? Because the organs can rot.
Yeah, but if the blood is removed, then they're just kind of
the smell
dehydrated.
Because
that's a thing about like bodies. If when they reach that stage to where the blood is all gone, either be it from usually insects and stuff like that, it smells, but it doesn't have that putrid aroma to it. So yeah, supposedly they don't smell because everything is empty.
Interesting.
It's just a bunch of leather sacks.
Okay. So we got weird creatures, we got things going on, and then there were the sightings that started to light up the night sky. Most of the coverage began in 1996 when Terry Sherman and his family fled their newly bought property because all of the experiences were too much for them to handle. They spoke to a reporter at the Desert News who published an article titled "Frequent Flyers?"
Okay.
Terry and Gwen Sherman detailed how desperate they were to stop the reported UFO activity plaguing their new home. At the time, the sprawling ranch was not known as Skinwalker Ranch, but it was still the site of some really strange activity. So I guess at the time they were calling it the UFO Ranch or something. Alien Ranch.
Okay.
Alien Workshop Ranch. Alien. That's probably copyrighted. Never mind. Won't say that. Alien Beep Ranch. How about that? Yeah. Gwen and Terry, their teenage son, and their 10-year-old daughter all claim to have seen three specific types of UFOs numerous times. One was small and boxy shaped. Another was 40 foot long. And the third was an enormous craft the size of several football fields.
Okay.
I can tell you this right now. If I see something that is the size of numerous football fields in the sky, I don't think I'm staying in that area.
If it's that big, where the fuck, you can't outrun it.
You got to go somewhere. And obviously it leaves. It doesn't stay there. So bye.
Yeah.
Bye. One of the crafts had a red wave of light. Another craft emerged out of a circular orange light resembling an aerial doorway. To their credit, the Shermans did videotape two of their sightings. Meanwhile, they also observed crop circles. So you remember these things?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just bending some crops. A lot of them were hoaxes.
Yeah.
And just a pain in the ass. Like, why be a dick and go do that? Because that's someone's livelihood, you know?
And some of the situations, it was the property owners themselves
true.
Doing
true.
It.
True. Those I'm not count. I'm talking about the like college kids that would go out and do it. And it's like, dude, somebody has to like, that was their money. You just bent over their money. How are they going to get that corn? How are they going to get that corn? You know?
I always thought they were cool.
And cornfields and aliens are go hand in hand. Like those two, if I think of like an alien touching down or something, I see a cornfield somewhere.
I remember, once again, call back to the 90s, watching on Sightings how they would always talk about how impossible it was to do it. Like it had to be something that we were not, you know, capable of and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And then when it came out, that one guy had done hundreds of them using like a 2x4. It was like,
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever scientific mind they consulted to determine that it was not humanly possible was obviously mm-hmm. not very.
They hadn't thought about a 2x4.
And I think
they had thought
old
about a
too.
1x3, but not a 2x4.
I think he was an old fart too, and he was just out there making mischief with this fucking 2x4.
Maybe he was alien. We don't know. He could have been. What do they say in Men in Black? He was wearing a, what is his name? A Norman suit, yeah. Or something with the bug that's wearing. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the character's name, but yeah. For a long time, we wondered what we were seeing. If this was something to do with a top secret project, the military, something, said Terry Sherman. I don't know really what to think about it. The Shermans did videotape because they wanted proof that they weren't going mad. Because they were like, we're seeing all this shit. Is it government? Because that was one of the things. Is it the military flying out here to the desert? And they've got these crazy ships or something now. So, but then they kept seeing like weird things, like the whole light that looked like a doorway and like something coming through it and all that other kind of crazy stuff. When the crop circle started, they would have 3 8-foot circles, 20 feet, 30 feet apart, that were in a triangular pattern, and the grass would be perfectly flattened. A nearby pasture had circles 3 feet wide and 2 feet deep with a perfectly flattened dirt circle in the center.
Okay.
I don't know how you do that. That's got to be more than a 2x4.
A perfectly flattened dirt?
Well, it's like, and it was all symmetrical. So.
You do it by anchoring your 2x4.
Oh, like you did in school when you would like draw a circle.
Yeah.
You would do the little. Yeah. 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 That makes sense.
That's how they would do it.
Okay. Okay, Shermans. We're on to you. All right. So then things started to escalate. One evening, a bright flying light followed Gwen Sherman as she drove home. A few weeks later, Terry Sherman was out in the field with the family's dogs when he heard male voices speaking an unfamiliar language. And the voices seemed to be coming from about 25 feet above him. But nothing was above him where he was. The sky was clear. There were no clouds, nothing. And the dogs were going absolutely crazy.
That's not unheard of. It's a weird thing sometimes that you can get if you're out in the...
Was it like radio waves?
No, it's the ability for certain sounds and voices to carry on the wind.
Yeah, true. It
is sometimes really, really spooky. Like, I've been down in creek beds or river beds and stuff and distinctively heard the conversations of people in like houses, or not in houses, but like outside of their house and stuff, like a good distance away, carried on the wind, and it sounded like they were above you and like right, but they're not, they're way away. And it is spooky because you're like, holy shit, why are there people above me? But there's right. not. But it's a weird like wind thing. So.
But he's out in the middle of the desert. Could the wind carry it that far? Like, how far can what the wind would carry it? Sound?
What would break the sound?
The sound wouldn't deteriorate over time? Because it's like when you play a note and the note resonates, it continues to go to a decimal, or I can't remember the word, I'm sorry, but it continues to go to the point where you can't hear it. It's still there, but you can't hear it anymore
right.
because it deteriorates over time. So I would imagine a voice resonating, even if it's on the wind and being carried, would do the same thing, right?
But that would still be, still matter, like how far away it was and how
true.
Frequently. I mean, in the desert, that wide openness, it's, the acoustics are weird.
Yeah.
In the desert. I mean,
I've never been to the desert.
Weird in general.
So I don't know.
I haven't either, but I've read about them.
Maybe we need to go to the desert. But just a little bit. I don't want to get lost or like trapped in the desert or like break down. Like you see all the movies and then they're like walking.
Yeah.
And they're like sweating and like you see like the haziness. I don't want that.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't survive that experience.
I am not ashamed to admit that. I would not. I'd rather take on the birds and the spider. So
you'd rather not leave home.
Correct. I don't know how I want to start this. Okay, so the weird voices happen, all that, and then the cows begin to go missing or end up dead. The deaths are always bizarre. One murdered cow had a hole in the center of its left eyeball, but was otherwise untouched. Another dead cow had the same incision, as well as a 6-inch hole carved out of its rectum. A strong chemical smell was always present around any of the bovine deaths.
Yeah.
Some cows disappeared entirely, some with their hoof prints simply stopping in a path, like so they could follow the hooves, the little cow prints, and then they're just gone.
Yeah.
Like the cow's gone, the prints stop. Like that cow done got abducted by aliens. Just whoop. I was playing that Destroy All Humans, which is a fun little game where you're an alien. What is it? Cryptosporidium?
Yeah, Cryptosporidium.
So we're poop bacteria, aliens, and you get to pick up cows and throw them at people. It's fun.
But remember why they start that is because they're like, this must be the dominant species.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe these aliens were like, oh, look, the dominant species. So they started abducting all these cows.
And then we're like, shit.
Mm-hmm.
And let's give it back. But they had already done all the stuff to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probed that cow. They probed it. We've seen the UFOs enough that we know pretty much what the crafts look like. And I think it's definitely associated with the cattle mutilations, said Terry Sherman. When we see the crafts and then the cattle, we have problems. You talk to a lot of people around here that at one time or another have seen something they can't explain. There's been a lot of cattle mutilations, a lot that weren't reported. Several ranchers told me that when they had a mutilation, they called the authorities and the authorities couldn't do anything. So it was just a waste of time and effort. Really, what do you expect a cop to do, though? Take it. I mean,
So, well, I mean, in that situation, probably the same as most situations, which is absolutely nothing. So,
right. Well, that's what they do. But like, but what would be your expectation? Like, what would you think that they were actually going to do? Like, you think they're going to get some clues off the cow and trace it? I mean,
yeah.
What are we talking here?
Well,
what do we need here in this situation?
Probably a science guy.
Yeah. Maybe the guy that's like, I hate saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
That's not a science
guy. That's not a science guy.
No.
He's a, what are
that's
they?
Just a crazy guy.
He's got great hair, though. What is he, French or Italian? He's,
I thought it was Greek.
Is he? Oh, you're right. You're right. Cause like Giovanni mm-hmm. something. I know someone's screaming at the radio right now, like his name is blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But sorry, I haven't watched Ancient Aliens in a long time. Ancient Aliens used to be good when it was like a random picking thing. But when they were like, people really watch this program, we need weekly episodes. Then it just like, it got super ridiculous.
What the turning point for me was when it was stopped talking about aliens and it started talking about how cultures could have never come up with any of these things and it all had to be aliens. And it's like, no,
not everything has to be aliens.
Yeah. Lots of cultures did some amazing things and it didn't require aliens. Like,
but see, they did the same thing that like conspiracy theories have done about everything, or like whatever the fuck their name is, QAnon has done about all conspiracy theories. They grouped everything together.
Yeah.
And so it's like it's either all of this or nothing. And
It can be aliens exist, but that doesn't mean that they had anything to do with the building of the pyramids or Machu Picchu or any of this other. Like, people are capable of doing things. Mm-hmm. We prove it every day. But yeah, that's just stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
And when the show became trash.
Yeah. But if you're willing to support us, we're here for the next year.
If you would like us to guest on your... Yeah.
Yeah. I will scream, it wasn't aliens. Okay, I'm kidding. Some people believe the Shermans, while others called bullshit on it. I like typing bullshit in my story.
Yeah.
However, after only 18 months, the family had enough and placed the property for sale. So they're like, we're bouncing. We're out. The property was bought 3 months later by Las Vegas real estate giant and UFO fanatic Robert Bigelow. With a name like Bigelow, you know he comes from Vegas. Like, that's a Vegas name right there, baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before Terry Sherman left the property, however, he reported seeing a wolf three times bigger than normal. He shot it three times with a rifle at close range, but the bullets did not hit it. So we don't really know if Terry is a bad shot, if he was shooting at it with a little rifle.
If I'm out in the middle of this like creepy, haunted, weird fucking desert and I see a wolf that's three times normal size, I'm not going to engage that target. Yeah. I'm just gonna let it do whatever the fuck it's doing, and I'm gonna go the other way and hope it doesn't follow me.
I agree.
Hey, ghost wolf, here, have some bullets. Yeah. Like, that sounds like a terrible fucking plan from the jump. Like,
but the Shermans were able to get out of there, do their life. I don't know where they're at now, but hopefully they're just living their best life with no aliens or giant wolf things.
No ghost wolf.
No ghost wolf, no mutilations. Go Shermans, do your thing. You're out there. Once Robert took control of the property, he looped in the National Institute for Discovery Science and things really got weird. That company is also his company. Let's just clarify this. Yeah. Okay. He also bought this property for like $200,000. 512 acres, $200,000.
You're talking about the 90s.
Though. I am, though. Mm. Like, wow. Inflation. Calm the fuck down.
Yeah, I remember the house that I grew up in and my mom paying $25,000 for it with like a 15-year mortgage. Like,
yeah, those days are long gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Biochemist Colum Keller said that on the night of March 12, 1997, he saw a big humanoid figure perched on a tree. It was observing the research team. The large creature that lay motionless, almost casually, in the tree. The only indication of the beast's presence was the penetrating yellow light of the unblinking eyes that stared fixedly into the night.
Okay.
We went from aliens, people being scared, to all of a sudden, we've now got cryptids or legends or witch monster things, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, boom, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I guess it's that whole thing, like laws of attraction. You attract what you want to yourself.
You're looking for weird shit, and then the weird shit finds you.
It's like, oh, hey.
Hey, I heard buddy. You were looking for some weird shit.
Hey, I'm going to sit here on this fence post and creep you the fuck out. Look at my eyes. Look. Keller stated that he fired at the figure. Why are we shooting at these things, guys? Stop.
It's coming right for us.
It's on the fence. So he fires at it before it just vanishes. But he was able to see some distinct details. I mean, when you can see details in the dark, you know, you first of all, you've got hell of a lot better eyesight than I do, which I need to go to the eye doctor.
Much, but...
The creature had sharp claws and resembled a predatory bird. Why's it got to be a bird? And what predatory bird? Like, was he trying to say?
That would make it a raptor.
Yeah. So was it just literally a big bird on the thing? Because do their eyes reflect yellow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it had claws. It looked like a bird. It had eyes like a bird. It was a humanoid figure.
But there's also the fact that a lot of people, especially people from the city, don't understand that birds can be fucking huge.
Right.
And so they tend to not to underestimate them. They think of the little birds like pigeons and shit they see in the city. And right. then I mean, everybody's probably seen like a vulture or something like mm-hmm. that. But when you actually see an eagle, and especially if you ever see a bald eagle in real life, they're fucking huge. Like yeah. So yeah, they're very intimidating.
I watched that I think Bald Eagle was the first one they started doing it for, where they put the little camera in the nest
mm-hmm.
and then you could watch that eagle like have its babies.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that. Yeah. And that bird like barely fit in the screen.
Yeah.
Like, and it was zoomed back and that, and it was
they're,
like,
they're big.
Yeah. They're a little too big.
And they're not even big by bird standards. I mean, you've got condors and all these other giant fucking birds. Which was another thing that was a big deal when I was a kid, was saving the condors.
Yeah. Did we do that?
I think we kind of did that.
Oh, okay, good.
I remember the Fort Worth Zoo actually had an exhibit where they had like either one or two back then. And yeah, those birds were fucking massive. I mean, they couldn't fly around because, you know, they're in an atrium, but mm-hmm. they're just sitting there. And it's like, damn, that's a big bird.
Yeah. Okay, so we're at the point where the claims of the skinwalkers are now heavily stated on this ranch, right? So yeah. we change our name because, you know, let's lean into this marketing.
Yeah.
The tribe is reluctant to discuss the legends, which of course just feeds into the mystery and people's stories and the people that are staying at the ranch. The ranch and sightings happen about 400 miles from the Navajo Nation, which again just adds to the rumors. But living in 400 miles is really far away. Like, that's not close. Like, that's kind of a good chunk of, I guess, desert that you'd have to get through to.
Well, but you're also thinking in terms of that 400 mile, like that's still technically Navajo land.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's just that they've put up, you know, yeah. we own this now. So
they're trying to make it be like, yeah, the Navajo people are like, right, you could see their stuff from here, when it's not. That could literally be a state away, depending upon where you were.
Yeah, but they're doing it with it's kind of like saying the quiet part loud. They're like, mm-hmm. this is still Navajo. I mean, the Navajo, they're right over there, but this yeah. is, because, I mean, yeah, that was all their territory.
Well, yeah.
And so they're still close enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get it. I get what they're trying to say.
Trying to they're say trying it without not looking say, like shitheads.
Yeah, we're on mm-hmm. Navajo land right now, but yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyways, so I found this little tidbit. According to Clyde Cluckhone's Navajo Witchcraft, Skinwalkers represent the opposite of Navajo values. While medicine men and healers of the tribe symbolize good, these shape-shifting witches represent evil. But again, there's only little tidbits of people that have studied and studied their legends. And there's, no, I take that back. There's a lot of stuff out there, but I don't give any credence to that. I went for like people that actually studied with them. But they don't talk about it. It's not.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things like that, what you attract, right? What you're,
yeah,
the laws of attraction. So they're like, mm-mm, yeah, no, that's not something we're going to talk about because that's a bad thing. So, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But these fools at the ranch are all about talking about it.
Hey, skinwalkers, y'all. Yeah, yeah.
Come on over here. Like, Bigelow's goal was to confirm or disconfirm the existence of these beings in the area by using modern equipment to garner evidence.
Okay.
Keller and investigative journalist George Knapp reportedly experienced nearly 100 incidents. But like the Shermans before them, no real physical evidence could ever be produced.
Okay.
Which, I'm on the fence about that, because I do believe that, I 100% believe in the spirit world and paranormal activity and like all these things. And I don't think that you can really record or capture things in this realm that's happening probably in a different realm or whatever that you're just being able to witness, because I don't think the times and the places are the same or fluid. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't think you can necessarily capture all that. So that's not a deal breaker for me. But what is the deal breaker is like, this family lives here for 18 months and they see UFOs every couple months, and then some stuff happens with their cows. You guys move in and it's like every day you've got this like, oh, okay, calm down.
Yeah, it's like the same thing when like parapsychologists and stuff like buy supposedly haunted locations where you've got dozens of reports and stuff over like 20 years of weird shit happening. They move in and it's like every day there's,
it's like a, yeah, new, it's like one day they've experienced everything.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I understand being like an open conduit and like attracting those things to you, but it's at a point, it's like, are you really? I mean, are you fluffing?
But it's a, yeah, because it's a conflict of interest. It's because you now have an investment in this. So you have to do all you can to show that your investment was worthwhile. And because what are you doing? This shit's not free. If he's bringing in these people and this equipment and this, that costs money. So he has to get people interested and then make money off of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's from Vegas. Do it, Bigelow. So Bigelow sold the ranch to a company called Adamantium Real Estate Holdings in 2016. But according to Vice, research in the paranormal on Skinwalker Ranch had continued. The owner of Adamantium, am I saying that right? Adamantium, no. Anyways, Holdings remains anonymous and seems rather convinced that something is indeed regularly occurring in the region. You know, facing the reality of our mortality is sobering, the mysterious owner told Vice. The anomalies at Skinwalker Ranch, the things that have been reported over the decades, if not hundreds of years, they seem to attest to the fact that we live in a strange universe. Perhaps we are not alone. What the fuck does that have to do with mortality? Like, okay, dude. Anyways, he goes on. I think the opportunity to take a living laboratory like the ranch, a place that seems to be the center of gravity of so much of the unexplained, it is a unique experience. He also doesn't know how to talk. I managed and led an effort, and I believe this is a great science, the greatest science project of all time. So it's, I don't know. It's like he wants to sound smart and uses words, because I literally just read how the quote is written.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I might not have read it super well, but it isn't written really well, you know, which means he didn't say it really well.
I'm thinking.
Okay.
Old rich hippie. That's what that sounds like.
Currently, the ranch's scientific project is run out of the command center, a high tech hub designed by plasma physicist Eric Bard. The entire property is wired with surveillance systems set up to catch any strange activity. Over the last few years, numerous people have become sick with mysterious illnesses that have worked in the hub. And many employees at the ranch have had disquieting experiences. Even the head of security, you know, because heads of security are non-believers or something. I don't know. Okay, so he said, I thought it was all a bunch of crap. So first of all, my head of security would say the word shit and not crap. Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and say that because...
Maybe he's trying to
be 12?
Professional.
Yeah. Are you saying I'm not professional?
I mean...
I'm not professional. Yeah. It's fine.
It's kind of a requirement for the pod.
That's true. Listen. Listen to his professional statement, okay?
Professional opinion.
Professional statement. Then one night, I'm in one of the bedrooms in the ranch house. I'm lying down, trying to get to sleep. You know he was doing something. You know what he was doing. And then all of a sudden, bam, something slams into my bed. Mm-hmm. It's like when your kids jump into the bed with you or someone big need the bed. I sat up and turned on the lights. Nothing was there. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It interrupted his personal time.
Sounds serious.
The History Channel did a series on the location called The Secrets of Skinwalker Ranch, and the owner is no longer anonymous. He also has celebrities visit him on the ranch. Brandon Fugel bought the ranch in 2016, and as recently as 2021 had Post Malone visit that year. Post Malone and I were introduced through mutual friends and business associates and became friends as he is extremely interested in the paranormal with the dream to visit the ranch. Fugel tells 2 News that Post was specifically interested in the scientific technology and equipment that scientists use at the ranch. I'm sorry, hold on. It just cracks me. Because you know Post Malone was high shit. And he's like, and I could just see him being like, wow. Okay, hold on.
I mean, that's not a slide at Post
Malone. No, not at all. I'm just imagining this
picture
pompous dude being like, mm-hmm. Welcome to my scientific experience. Post Malone is like, wow.
Yeah.
Just the interaction.
Because he has that childlike quality to him.
Where he's like so excited about things. Yeah. Post also helped out with some investigations while he was at the ranch. Post is often spotted in Utah as he has a home in the state. Further details regarding Post visits to the ranch were not provided to media.
Because Post can't remember.
He can't remember what happened. But you can get online and there's some pictures of them together. And the guy is exactly how you would imagine him to look. The anonymous owner. And Post Malone is just so fucking happy to be there. He's just, his little cheeks are so puffed from cheesing. It's so great. But yeah, so that's the legend of Skinwalker Ranch, which...
It's not really a legend.
I know. I do believe that there was some activity and enough to scare that family, because when you're, you know, trying to create a homestead and do all these things and you've got this property and you're out there working it and you're getting it done and something's able to run you off, like that's
but see, to what? Me, that also, what you just said is also very important. So think about it this way, though. You buy this property, mm-hmm. You think you're going to be able to get it into shape.
You can't.
And you can't. So you need to get out of it and...
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I mean...
But it's not like they needed that legend to help them sell it.
But it did.
It did sell it. True. I don't know.
And you also have to remember the time, like... People were a fucking obsessed with aliens. True. In the '90s. It was like aliens was everywhere. Yeah. Because, and it's kind of weird to think back now, because it's like we don't have that anymore. It's like we're now having, you know, congressional meetings about UFOs and stuff, and they don't garner nearly as much attention.
Yeah. The government's literally said there's shit flying around that they don't know what it is, and they are worried about it and would like to know what it is.
And it's like bottom page news, where back in the '90s a crop circle appears And it's like fucking headlines.
People came from all over to look at that shit.
The 90s were obsessed with aliens. And so, yeah, if you built an alien legend around a property that you needed to sell, that would really help you sell that property.
I mean, I think now it's just, especially after 2020, we're just like, aliens? Okay. Like, we'll figure out how to work it into our daily schedules.
Right.
Because, you know, we've been dealing with a lot of unprecedented times. So we're just like, okay, we got
why not aliens too?
Yeah, I mean,
but I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to say that they were trying to run a scam, but it is a lot harder to run a ranch than one would.
Yeah, in the desert.
You know? Yeah, especially in the fucking desert. Like that's not an easy thing to do. And that's not to say that it's not possible that some shit like was messing with them at the time, but it's also a perfect ploy to try to.
It could get also out of have something. Been the government. It could have 100% been government testing.
And see, that's the thing that I bounce back and forth on a lot with the UFO that I saw is it's easier for me to believe that it was some fucking experimental plane that is not official than it is to believe that it was visitors from beyond the stars. But it could be either one. But I couldn't tell you which one it is.
Yeah.
So anytime you have a UFO, there's always that consideration. It's like, well, because, you know, they don't tell us shit. Like, what was it? I can't remember how many people saw the B-52 and thought it was a UFO. And then finally it was like, oh, wait, you know, that's actually
That's our new plane. For killing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. So.
Yeah.
And there, and that is the thing is out in the desert, out in the West is where they do a lot of test flights. I mean, that's where Area 51 is like. Mm-hmm. So who knows?
Yep. That's it for this episode. Episode is over. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to get some information on some of our other episodes, listen to some of our other episodes. Get some merch, leave a review. I don't know, do something that helps us and is nice. Go to our website at mystifiedpod.com. We would really appreciate that. If you want to hang out with us on Instagram or on Facebook, at Instagram, we are mystified_pod. And then on Facebook, we are Mystified Podcast Discussion Group. We are a little discussion group. We're really bad about posting in there. We're going to get better. We keep saying this, but damn it, we will. We're also very selective. Anyways, because we have a very protected area, so if you're trying to spam us, there's literally a person in there keeps trying to spam and join and do stop it. We know you're a scammer. Stop it. I know you're not listening, but I'm telling you, stop it.
Right.
So you can check us out there. And anything else before we go?
Yeah, I think that about covers it.
Great. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Mystified.
Podcast.
Yes.